being transferred to broadcast. To end, hang up.
Something, somebody's been around this phone because there's some changes here.
Yeah. Okay, Rabbi Isai, moving on, we were discussing about the Minhagim of Elul, and we were speaking about Ksiva Chsima Toiva, when it starts from, etc., etc. Nagin, Bimdinas Elu, Merash Chodesh Elul Ve'eleich, Ve'in, the Western world, in the Nusach, well, Nusach Ashkenaz, or Nusach Sfad, as in Chasidish Sfad, Loima V'chol Yoim, Achagma HaTfila, Mizmach HaZayim B'Tehilim. That every day after davening we say L'dovid Hashem Ori V'Yishi. I haven't actually found, it says Boikev Erev. I'm not quite sure why we say it twice a day. Why, if Chazal wanted to be Masakin, that this was a capital Tilim, which is appropriate to say during Elul, why Dafka we say it twice a day, Boikev Erev? I haven't yet found that anybody discusses it. And the Matei Ephraim says that some people say it till Yom Kippur, so starting from Rosh Chodesh Elul until Yom Kippurim, and on Yom Kippur they finish. And the smach on that comes from a Medrash Shoicha Toiv. L'dovid Hashem Oiri V'Yishi. So the Medrash says Oiri is on Rosh Hashanah, and Yishi HaKadosh Baruch Hu saves us. Yeah, Oiri is Pshat, the Rebbein Shem gives us light, the Rebbein Shem helps. The same way they say that Melech Oizer Umoishia Umogain. Oizer is HaKadosh Baruch Hu helping us along. We do tshuva, we try and prepare ourselves during Elul, and we do tshuva, but the Rebbein Shem is Oizer, he helps us. But then we go through our Seir Shemei Tshuva, and we realize Erev Yom Kippur, that we just aren't there, we haven't made the progress that we need to. So then it comes on to the stage of Moishia. Rebbein Shem changed from an Oizer to a Moishia, that we, even without our help, Kaviyochel, at that stage, when we've tried our best and we haven't achieved what we ought to have achieved, then the Rebbein Shem steps in and says, now I will save you. And who are Adin L'Dovid Hashem Oyu V'Yishi, that Yeshua is Pshat, the Rebbein Shem steps in and says, you've tried your best, you didn't manage, okay, now I'll take over. And therefore, Yom Kippur is Mechaper. So, there are some who say that L'Dovid Hashem Oyu V'Yishi applies Oyu to Rosh Hashanah, and Yishi until Yom Kippur, that's when they finish. V'Yesh Min Hogim. That to say it until Shmini Atzeres va'ad bichlal, yeah. That we say it till Shmini Atzeres and va'ad bichlal. What's the smach on that? The pasuk says ki it's b'neini besukoi, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu will protect me in the sukkah, and therefore I would say ki it's b'neini besukoi, that part that L'dovid Hashem Ori V'Yishi with ki it's b'neini besukoi until the end of Sukkos, which would take me only until Shavi Shal Pesach. And then I get to Shmini Atzeres misfakas Yoimo, all the discussion about sitting in the sukkah. Well, sorry, no, Hoshanah Rabbah is the seventh day of Sukkos. So Ki Yisbenei B'Sukkoi will take me till Hoshanah Rabbah and including Hoshanah Rabbah. And then, according to Yisbenei B'Sukkoi, I would have thought that you stopped there. Then you've got Shmini Atzeres, Sveika D'Yoimo, all the discussion, sitting in the Sukkah, not sitting in the Sukkah, what kiddush you make, whether you say Shmini Atzeres, Achagazeh, etc., etc. All that takes me up to Shmini Atzeres. For those people who interpret the Pasuk Ki Yisbenei B'Sukkoi, that I should say L'dovid Hashem Oyu V'Yishi until then. There are various other minhagim surrounding L'dovid Hashem Oyu V'Yishi, which we'll carry on with tomorrow.
We stop on Hoshanah Rabbah.
You stop on Hoshanah Rabbah, ki yisbenei b'sukkoi, end of Sukkos. Fair enough. But you sit in the Sukkah on Shmini Atzeres. Did I say? Sorry, apologies. If I said Shvi'i Shel Pesach, I meant Shvi'i Shel Sukkos. Okay. Torahway, Northwest London. It's Wednesday, Chof Elul, the 2nd of September. Ravon Chavais Shlita on how to ensure that our tefillahs are accepted. This week's Torah has been sponsored in Nishmas Rav Moshe ben Rav Yosef Zichrono Livracha, Mr. Moshe Joseph, a very beloved member of Torah Way, who came to Torah Way every day into well over beyond his 104th birthday, I think.
Yeah.
You remember him?
Yeah,
sure. Okay, yeah, his yahrzeit was yesterday, Yotes El Zichrono Livracha. And of course, yesterday was also the yahrzeit of our founder and our best friend, Dudi Itzkovich Zecher Tzal Livracha.
Morning, Rabbi Yisai. So as usual, I'd like to start off by thanking the organizers, Josh, for giving me the opportunity. I was supposed to be part of Start Today the Torah Way. Each and every time, it's a special honor and a privilege, and I should be able to be zeuche to continue doing this for many, many years to come, Yitzhak Hashem, together with all of you in good health. This week's parasha starts off, Atem, Nitzuvim, Hayoim, Kilchem, Lefnai Hashem, Elikaichem. There's an interesting medrash which is brought down in the Chassidish Asurim, Bring It Down. It's not known exactly where this medrash is, but they say that the word Hayoim refers to Rosh Hashanah. Atem, Nitzuvim, Hayoim, Hayoim, Du Rosh Hashanah. They have sources in the Zohar Kodesh, but it doesn't clearly say it anywhere, but that's what the Chassidish Asurim bring down. That this refers to Rosh Hashanah. So the first thing is, let's try and explain how does the pasuk continue? Atem nitzuvim hayoim, kilchem lefnai Hashem lekayichem. How would you explain the pasuk according to this explanation? Then again, there's one thing which we know is that nitzuvim will always, every single year, always be just before Rosh Hashanah. So obviously, this pasuk is coming. This parish is coming to give us some practical advice on how to be zoiche on Rosh Hashanah, how to be zoiche b'din. So what practical advice could we take out from this pusik from Atem Nitzuvim Hayoim? We just heard before from Rav Yanki, he mentioned that there is a minik, which most of Klal Yisrael have this minik, which is to say in Chodesh El and during Tishri, twice daily we say the Mizmor of Leduvid, Hashem Oiri V'Yishi, and there are many, many various different reasons for it. Some of which we already heard from Rabbi Yanki, why we say this capital. So obviously there is some significance and there is some advice in this capital which is going to help us along when it comes to the Heilige Tage of Rosh Hashanah and the days of Tishri. There's something which bothered me for a very, very long time, and that is there's a famous Zohar HaKodesh. Zohar HaKodesh complains, and he writes quite sharply against, he calls it the people who, when it comes to Rosh Hashanah, they're constantly asking for their own personal needs. And the Rishon Zohar Kodesh is Hana de Tzofchen Kekalbin have those people who they shout like a dog and they say, give me Tzofchen Kekalbin. And that is something which bothered me. First, the fact that the simple explanation of the Zohar HaKodesh is that we know what's the purpose of Rosh Hashanah, what's the essence of Rosh Hashanah. The Psal Yeguin says the essence of Rosh Hashanah is to be mamlich the Ribbono Shel Olam, to coronate the King. V'kilal mekablim alayim ol malchus shemayim, we mekablim ourselves the malchus shemayim of the Ribbono Shel Olam. That is the essence of the day. And in fact, if we see the nisach of the Shmoneh Esrei of Rosh Hashanah, there isn't a single tefillah that we are asking for our personal needs. It's all about Kavod Shemaim. V'chayin Yiskada, V'chayin Yiskada, V'chayin Tayin Pachtechu, V'chayin Tayin Kuvud, V'chayin Tzadikim. V'chol Rishu Kilam, K'ushon Tichle, V'simlech Atu Yashem Levadeichu, M'loich HaKol Olim Kiloi, V'yayda Kol Puel Ke'atu Pe'alte, and so on and so forth. It's all about. The only things which we do find is the Yad Leviyuveh, which we say every Yontav, which isn't specifically to Rosh Hashanah. And then we have the things which they added on later, which is Achrein Lechaim and the Sefer Chaim of those things. But in the actual Nusach of the Shmoneh Esrei, it's all about Malchus Shemaim, Kvod Shemaim, Mamluch the Ribbono Shel Olam. And that is the simple meaning of the Zohar Kodesh, where the Zohar Kodesh says that someone who, instead of being focused on being mamlich to the Ribbono Shel Olam, is focused on his own personal needs, then that is something which is inappropriate, that doesn't come in Rosh Hashanah. So my question, what bothered me, is that we do see, in fact, that the later Digger Yishoinim added on the Nisach that we do say, Zochrein Yilachayim, Yilachofes Bechayim, Micha Moichu Avarachmim, Beseif Echayim, Ruchu Veshulim. Yes, we see that they did add on in Shmoneh Esrei certain prayers, certain tefillahs that we are asking for our personal needs. And in fact, after the end of tefillah, there's a Avinu Malkaini, they will say a whole long list of Avinu Malkainis, we're asking for all our personal needs. Why wasn't he bothered about the Zohar Kodesh? It's not appropriate time to ask for our personal needs. And besides for that, I think every single one of us, including myself, do spend some time Rosh Hashanah to ask for our personal needs, because if not now, then when then? When is the time? This is the right time for it. It's a time when we mishpat everyone in Klal Yisrael. So if it's such an inappropriate thing to do, then how come we are all doing this? Every single year we're constantly asking for our personal needs. So I'd like to suggest the following. That it depends how you daven. And if you are going to daven in the appropriate way, as we're going to explain, then not only is the davening not a contradiction with being mamluch to Ribbono Shloilem, but in fact, the tefillah itself becomes part of our job of coronating the king of being mamluch to Ribbono Shloilem. And I'll explain what I mean. Everyone here remembers the famous story with Reb Shulam Otcher Reb Ashkin. Remember the time in 2011 when the story happened, it was something which shook the entire Yiddish world. They raided his business, his factory, his meat facility that he had. They raided it and they arrested him. The whole way it was done was a terrible, terrible way, anti-Semitic. Finally, when the court case came along, the prosecutors suggested that they give him the sentence to 20 years in prison. His lawyers obviously wanted him to be free completely, and the prosecutors suggested 20 years in prison. The judge came, something which I think is unprecedented in American history, and said that I will in fact not only sentence him to 20 years in prison, I will be machme, and I'll sentence him to 27 years in prison, which is a lot more than the prosecutors had intended. And then it turns out later that they found out that this judge was the fellow who instigated this whole raid on his business and factory. He was the one who was working together with the agencies to try and get rid of Rebashkin. So we're talking about the whole thing, which was all, and it was something which shook the entire Yiddish world. They felt how the whole thing was. And then it continued for the next 8 years. He was in prison, and they tried appealing in court, and it went from one court to the next court, the state court to the federal court, until finally, after 8 years, they knew this was the last chance, and they're going to go and they're going to make an appeal in the Supreme Court of America, which is the highest court, and if that falls through, then that's it, he's lost his chance. So of course they knew that this is their last chance, so they paid millions and millions of dollars to get all the top lawyers. The top lawyers, they went around getting signatures from all the various politicians, and they sat together. A masterpiece, thousands of papers of evidence proving that the whole thing was instigated and the whole thing was only against him and anti-Semitic and it wasn't just. And they got hundreds of politicians to give their to ask for a request that they release him. And they knew this is something which, if this falls through, then they've lost the final chance. Rebashkin himself writes in his book, and he says that was that one day, it was on Aleph Teves, it was in 2017, I think it was. The first day of Teves, seventh day of Chanukah. He was in the middle of davening, towards the end of Shachris. He still was wearing his tallis and tefillin. And the officer comes into prison and he says, Mr. Rebashkin. That usually means that, yes, so he had to answer yes. He took off his tallis and tefillin and said, yes, what could I help you? He said, you have a registered post. He knew a registered post is a post which comes from the court, from the Supreme Court. And in this envelope, he will know what his fate will be. Whether he will be going free or whether he will be staying for another extra 20 years in prison. He opens up the envelope and he says, your appeal has been denied.
Denied.
That's it. You've lost the chance. According to the laws of nature, you are here for the next 20 years here in prison. He says, a normal person in his goy, this would happen to him, would completely either go crazy or fall apart. He says, immediately he writes that he remembered the story. He remembered that there was a story of the Alexander Rebbe, Rebbe Rachmil of Alexander. His father was critically ill, and he went with his father to seek the help of a certain professor, a certain medical professor, a doctor. On the way, they were going through a tiny little village. I think it was called Blatter. That's the name of the little village. In the middle of the night, his father, all of a sudden, is in tremendous pain, and he felt that he was about to pass out. And he tells his son, he thinks, it's ready to come towards the end of his life. He doesn't see how he could continue. So the son of Rebbe Chmiel told his father, said, listen here. There's a vort of the Heilige Rishne. It says a beautiful vort, a powerful vort. It says, Lord HaMelech says in Tehillim, Ad Unu Hashem Tishkechaini Netzach. Till when will you forget me forever? At Uno Taste Respanechum, many, till when are you going to hide your face from me? At Uno Ushes Aitz Tanaf, she says a vision. Duvad HaMelech is saying, till when are you going to hide your face from me? Till how long am I going to have to wait for my salvation? On that, the answer is, Duvad HaMelech answer, at Uno Ushes Aitz Benafshi. As long as you think you can still take care of yourself, I can do this, I can do that. Then Hashem says, you know what? Take care of yourself. As soon as the person comes to the conclusion that there is no one, absolutely no one that could help me, that's when Hashem says, okay, now I'm going to step in. So Rebbe Chaim tells his father, he says, listen, hey, if you would be in a town, in a city where there is a hospital, where there is a doctor, then we could say, maybe perhaps you could go and find a doctor. But we're stuck in a tiny little village where there's no one, absolutely no one. I know for sure one thing. In a situation like this, when we know we could rely on absolutely no one, then Hashem will step in. And all of a sudden the pain disappeared. Says Rebashkin, I felt the same way. I says, until now I felt I had to do my shtadlis, I had to try this, I had to, and his chayav, according to the Torah, he has to do whatever he could do to try and help himself. But when it came to the conclusion that there is absolutely nothing that I could do to help myself, I felt that I finally came to this point. But Unu Hashem Tishkechaini Netzach, I don't know, Ushas Aitzis Benafshi. There's no more Aitzis I could do. I relied totally on Hashem, and I felt a certain sense of serenity, of calmness that took me over. And we all know the end of the story that the following day, in the middle of his meagly, Zois Chanukah's meal that he was eating, this kind of tuna and some matzah, the guard comes in and he says, Mr. Rebashkin, come out. He says, what's the problem? He says, you have been released. The President of America has now given you clemency, whatever you call it, and you are now free. You're a free man. That is a famous story that we have. This happened a day after. It was only after he came to the conclusion that there is absolutely nothing he could do. Only then did the Sashiach come. This, we find this, everyone, probably almost everyone could say that at some point in their life they felt that they were waiting for some sort of salvation. And they tried this, they tried that. And at some point they felt, there's nothing more I could do. And that's when the salvation came. Because it's, when a person comes to this point where he feels that there's nothing to do, Hashem steps in. Famous Chovas Avuvas talks about it in Shara Betuchen, the beginning of Shara Betuchen, and he says, the first step in Betuchen is that the person has to know that I rely on absolutely no one. Now, that does not mean that we don't have to do our Rishtadlis. Of course, we're going to do whatever we could do, but don't rely on anyone. Says the Chovas Avuvas Amori de Gezach, he says, if the person relies on anyone, no matter who it is, the Modus Hashem says, you relied on this fellow, on this individual, on this Bus of Adam, okay, let him take care of you. And it says, Chovas Avuvas, Hashem takes his case and gives it over in the hands of this person who he relied upon. And of course, we know what happens when someone relies on the Bus of Adam. Usually it doesn't end very well. And he says, not only that, but the person relies on himself. He relies on his own talents, on his own strengths. Then Hashem says, okay, you want to rely on yourself? Take care of it yourself. I'm not going to help you. It's only when the person comes to this conclusion that there is no one that could help me, I'm not relying on anyone other than the Ribbono Shel Olam. Then the Ribbono Shel Olam says, if so, I will step in, I will take over. And when the Ribbono Shel Olam takes over, we know that the Ribbono Shel Olam is going to help. Reb Dovid Talmud says a Moed Gevot, and he says, we say in Rosh Hashanah davening, Kudesh Atu V'Noir Shemeichu, you are holy. So he says, Pshat is, we're telling the Ribbono Shel Olam, Kudesh Atu V'Noir Shemeichu, you're so holy, you're so great, you're so big, you're so huge. It's inappropriate for little me to come and ask you for my petty little needs, what I need, whether it's health, whether it's parnusa, whether it's, you're so great, it's so much greater than that. But then we finish off the same sentence and we say, V'ayin Elikai Mibaludeichu. But there is no one else. I have no other address to go to. So I come to you because I know that there is no other address. So of course I'm going to come. Who else should I go to? He says, then it's allowed. So, of course, someone who asks from the Ribbono Shel Olam for his own petty needs, without thinking of the Ribbono Shel Olam, that is not appropriate. Because Rosh Hashanah, we have to be busy coronating the Ribbono Shel Olam. But when a person comes to the Ribbono Shel Olam and says, I'm coming to you because there is no one else that could help me, then this itself is a way of coronating the Ribbono Shel Olam. It's as if you're calling out and you're saying, I have no one else. You are my king, and you are the only king. There is no one else. There's no other address. So when it's done in that way, then not only is this not a contradiction with being mamlech to the Bein Shalom, but in fact this itself turns is as one of the tools, one of the ways that we are mamlech to the Bein Shalom is simply by turning to the Bein Shalom. There is another very important yisod, which I've shared with you before, but I think it's important to mention it again. And that is that there's two sides of the coin. On the one hand, the person has to know that there is no one in the entire world that can help me. But at the same time, the flip side, he has to believe that the Ribbono Shel Olam can help me. And the Ribbono Shel Olam is a koil yochel. And regardless of how bleak the situation looks, and it looks according to the laws of nature, there is no way out, the Ribbono Shel Olam is a koil yochel, and he could help you. There's nothing that can stand in the way of the Ribbono Shel Olam. There's a Gemurah Rosh Hashanah Daf Yud Ches. Gemurah says, Hoy Remaya Oimer, Remaya said, Shnaim Shuli Lemite. Two people became critically ill with the same illness. Two people. V'chein Shnaim Shuli Legarda. Two people who were sentenced to death by the government for the exact same sin that they did. V'dinam Shuvah says, Ze Yurad Ve Lo Yurad. One of them was saved. He became healthy again. He recovered from his illness. And the second one, unfortunately, didn't. The first one, all of a sudden, he got spared from his sentence, from his death penalty. And the second one didn't. What is the difference between the two? Zog de Gemurah, ze hispadl venene. The first fellow, he davened, and he was answered. And the second one davened and didn't get answer. Why is it different? They both davened. What's the difference? Says the Gemurah, ze hispadl tfile shleime. He davened complete tfile. Says Rashi, his kavan betfilusa. He was mechavan by his tfile when he davened. And the second one was not mechavan. Now here's the question which everyone... A very obvious question. When we have an Omer Shemoneh Esrei here, it's difficult to keep focused the whole time. Our minds very often wander away. When a person is in a situation where he knows his entire life is hanging on a string, this fellow hasn't got any nisoyon of not to be mechavan by his tefillah. There's no question that when he davens, he is mechavan every single word. So how could the Gemurah say that this fellow was mechavan at tefillah shleim and the second one didn't? Zog nesfur magdoish mamoyedi gezach. Of course they both had in Zimba davening, they both were focused on concentrating. The difference is, how much did they believe that in the koyach of the Ribbono Shel Olam, the Ribbono Shel Olam could help them? The first fellow, he was mispalt fil shleime, means that when he davened to Hashem, he understood the Ribbono Shel Olam is a koyl yochul, and there is nothing that could stop the Ribbono Shel Olam from saving him from his illness and from his death penalty. Nothing at all, regardless of how bleak it looks. So he was davening at tefillah shleime. The second person was also davening, but it came with a certain sense of yish, a sense of despair. He felt that it doesn't look like there is any way according to the laws of nature, so he wasn't answered. So the key to tefillah is to understand that the Ribbono Shel Olam is a koyl yochel. Zug the Sefer Ikrim. In Sefer Ma'amar Revi, in Peirik Mem Tes, the Sefer Ikrim, that's someone who is beteich in the Ribbono Shel Olam. And he davens to Ribbono Shel Olam with the awareness that he could help him and he's a koyl yochel. He says that is the biggest shvach that one could give to the Ribbono Shel Olam. There's nothing, no greater shvach, no greater praise that one could give to the Ribbono Shel Olam than being beteich. Because by being beteich and believing the Ribbono Shel Olam is a koyl yochel, then essentially you're making a statement that the Ribbono Shel Olam is greater than everything else, is greater than the laws of nature. Touch to the pusik and tell him. Pusik Shtayadot, Duv Damelech says that, Pusik Duv Damelech says, Vani Tome Dayachal, I will always be Mayachal, I will always rely, hope for the best. And by doing that, Vahisafti Al Kol Tehelosechu, I'm now being moist, I'm now adding more than any other praise than anyone else could praise you. Because this is your greatest praise to the Bein Shalom is by making a statement that he is a Koyl Yochel. And coming back to our question, that when someone davens, if someone davens with this awareness that the Ribbono Shel Olam is a koyl yochel and nothing can stop him, then again, this is a way of being mamlech to the Ribbono Shel Olam, because essentially, I'm making a statement that you are the greatest king, there's no one greater than you. This itself becomes a tool of being mamlech to the Ribbono Shel Olam. So two people could be asking for the same thing. Both of them are asking for their own selfish needs. The difference is that the first person is focused on himself, whereas the second person is focused on being mamlech to the Ribbono Shel Olam. I'm coronating you, Ribbono Shel Olam, how? I'm making a statement that I have no other address to go to. You are my only address. At the same time, I'm making a statement that there is nothing that could stop you from helping me out. Perhaps this is the reason why when we say Uvini Malkaini, we start off with the statement, Uvini Malkaini. You are our father, our only father that could help us. You are Malkaini, you are our king, and therefore I am asking from you that Zechaini b'zakurin tov lefanechu, you should help me out on all those things. So Chazal, when they made this takuna that we should ask for our needs, they started off with this introduction that we should say the words Uvini Malkaini, because that is our right. The only right that we have to ask for our personal needs is only when it comes with this introduction first, that we are doing it because we have no other address to go to. You are our only king, you are our only address. And that's why we say also in Zechayni L'chaim, we start off first by saying, Melech Chofetz B'chaim. You are our Melech, and therefore, Kosvayni B'Seifer L'chaim. But only once you've made this introduction, only then could you continue on and ask for everything. And this is what we say, Im Kavunem, Im Kavudem, Einaini L'chut Lies. Our eyes are focused on you because we know that there is no one else that could help us other than you. By doing that, we are being Mamlech the Rebbeinu Shlilim. And not only was the Zohar Kodesh not be upset with us, but in fact, this is the greatest thing that we could do. Like David HaMelech says, V'yisafti al kol tehilasecho, this is greater than any other praise that we could praise the Rebbeinu Shlilim. Perhaps this is pshat in the Pusik that we started off. Atem nitzovim hayoim hayoim durei shashune. We all are looking for ways to be Zohar Bedin, to be nitzovim, to come out standing upright, to come out, to be successful in our din. What is the Eitzeh? Lifnai Hashem Elekeichem. That's it. This is the secret. Lifnai Hashem Elekeichem. I throw everything upon you, the Ribbono Shel Olam. You could help us, and only you could help us. There is no one else that could help us other than you, and I'm completely giving myself over to you. But at the same time, I understand that you are able to help me because you are a Koyluchu. I'd like to finish off a beautiful story I heard last year from a Yid called Ribero Taube. He lives in America. And he said the following story, which he heard firsthand. There was a family, a very interesting story, it's a true story. There was a family in Eretz Yisrael. A Shalaima family, obviously a whole bunch of kids, a very large family. The father comes out of his front door one morning and finds a very interesting package outside his front door. He finds a live child in a cradle outside his front door with a little note to say, that unfortunately us parents cannot raise this child. Please make sure to raise this child. They were in shock. It's not the package that they were expecting. You know, it's not your regular Amazon package that you are used to getting. And they, of course, tried to contact various different agencies. And in the meantime, they took the child in. They tried to help the child. By the time they tried to sort something out, the child was already part of the family. And they decided, you know what? If Hashem sent the child to our house, we're going to continue raising this child. And so we continue, this child grew up in this house. He had no idea that he's not part of this family. He dressed the same as everyone else. He spoke the same as everyone else. Before his bar mitzvah, his parents, foster parents, called him in and says, we have to tell you a secret. And they told him that we found you outside our doorstep and you're not part of our family. Nowadays, they probably would have had better ways of breaking such news to a child. But at the time, this child took it very, very, very hard. And it shook him to the core. He became frozen. And from that point forward, he switched off. He was completely like a zombie. You couldn't talk to him. He was like frozen. No learning, no davening, no nothing. In yeshiva, they tried sending him to therapists, to everyone. There was no one to talk to. And this continued on for about 2 or 3 years. At some point, they tried to get him into yeshiva gedoyle. Of course, you know, what could he do? He could sit on the chair. There was nothing much he could do. And then one day to the next, there was a change, a dramatic change. And all of a sudden, he started learning with such a geschmack. And started dabbling with such a geschmack. And everything changed to the point that he became one of the best bochurim in yeshiva. And then he continued on to an even greater yeshiva gedoyle and became the top bochur. He did the shidduch, which was a beautiful shidduch. And his shvei bought him a house in B'nai Brak, a dir in B'nai Brak, apartment in B'nai Brak. And he went to learn in the most prestigious kollel in B'nai Brak. At one point, he comes over to his Rosh HaKollel and he says, I want to travel to America. I'm moving diris, I'm moving my apartments, and I need the extra $20,000 which I haven't got. I'd like to go to America to try and raise some money to cover the extra cost. Rosh HaKollel says, listen, I've been in the fundraising business for a very long time. I could tell you, even me, with all my contacts I have in America, maximum I could raise $10,000 maybe, that's the maximum. You're going to go, you don't know anyone there, there's no chance you're going to succeed. In the end, this single man went. He went to America, he came back 2 weeks later, he had raised not only $20,000 but a lot more than that. Even after covering all the cost of his travel costs, he raised a tremendous amount of money. Rosh HaKollel says, you have to tell me what's going on here, what's your secret? So it turns into Rosh Hashanah and says, listen here, I don't know if you know my history, and I don't know if you know what is Rosh Hashanah. So Rosh Hashanah says, in fact, I do know your history. I heard that you went through a very rough time when you were a teenager. And at some point, you changed your life dramatically. He says, do you know what was behind that? Let me tell you. He says, my parents called me in the day before my bar mitzvah. They told me that my biological parents left me outside someone else's front door. Now, could you imagine that feeling? My own biological parents took you, they abandoned you, they left you outside someone else's front door. That means I'm completely worthless. That my own biological parents could do something to me like that, I was completely shaken. I was so traumatized, I couldn't do anything. I couldn't daven, I couldn't learn. I was completely blocked off. He says, at one point, when I was in Yeshiva Gedoyle, I opened the siddur. I was in Chodesh Elul. And I came across the tefillah that we say, the Dovid Hashem Oiri. And I see that Dovid HaMelech says some words which are very striking. He says, Ki uvi v'imi azuvini. Hashem has finally, and the Mefarshim explained that Dovid HaMelech, his father, actually abandoned him. Yisha abandoned him because he was from a different wife and he had completely abandoned him. Says, Dovid HaMelech, the Melech Yisrael says, Ki uvi v'imi azuvini. My biological parents abandoned me, but Hashem, yes, finally, I've always got the Rebbein Shleulim who I could rely upon. And that gave me such a big chizik. I felt that these words are talking to me. He's talking about me. He's exactly the same situation that I was in. And these words made such a powerful impact on me that changed me completely. I went into the room, all my emotions came out, I cried everything out, and that's where my whole life changed. And you know what? Since then, I talk upon myself every single day. After davening, I say the Dovid Hashem Oiri, not only in Chodesh El, every single day, without fail, after davening, I say the tefillah of the Dovid Hashem Oiri, because this reminds me that even though it looks like that my biological parents abandoned me, but Vashem Yasfaini, I have the Rebbein Shlom who I can rely upon. And it says, since then, the success that I've seen in every single step in my life was something beyond the laws of nature. I did a shidduch, which is beyond the laws of nature. I managed, then I went to America, I did the same thing. I knew no one there, absolutely no one, but I had my father. I had my father in heaven. I had Hashem Yasfaini. I had the Rebbein Shlom with me. And whenever I felt that no one else could help me, only the Rebbein Shlom, that's when I saw enormous success. Perhaps that's the reason why we say the Dovid Hashem Oiri, Bianchi started off. Why do we say the Dovid Hashem Oiri? Is to remind us this thing, that when you go to the tefillah, come with this approach. We're approaching tefillah because we believe and we understand that there's no one that could help us. And if we go with that approach, then that tefillah has a tremendous, tremendous power. At the same time, we believe that no one could help us, only the Rebbein Shlom, but the Rebbein Shlom could help us. The Rebbein Shlom should help that we should all be zeichet to aksive vechasim etoyv and agitke ben shtiyo and Hashem should be mekabel all our tefillahs b'nechem and b'verusim.
Thank you.